James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, and then we will look at the scripture text for today. James wrote, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect or complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." And let us turn in the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. The passage is a little long, but pay attention to God's words. Verses 1 through 21. "Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.' So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country.' Then the woman took the two men and hid them and said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted, neither did there remain any more challenge in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brother, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our families from death.' So the men answered, 'Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you.' Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, 'Get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterwards you may go your way.' Then the men said to her, 'We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, And unless you bring your father and your mother, your brothers and all your father's household to your own house. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it to you. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Let us pray. Lord, teach us now your precious words, that our hearts will joyfully receive, whether it's for correction or for encouragement, that we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this was some woman to talk about. A prostitute. But that's not what we will talk about today. Question, do you consider a woman of substance one who has succeeded in business or politics or some other intellectual pursuits? There are lots of TV programs that are promoting the great works of women in Canadian history, the first doctors and so on, and they're remembered very well and fondly. But do you consider woman a success based on business, politics, and other intellectual pursuits? True success in life, in reality, is measured by your obedience to God, not in the worldly definition of success. Now, according to man, there are some good advances in women, with women in the past few hundred years. And therefore, we say, yeah, according to man, they are successful. But success is measured by your obedience to God, not the worldly definition of success. And we still live in a land where prostitution is looked upon as not a very positive, not in the greatest light whatsoever. Let us consider the life of Rahab. Bear in mind that for the people of God to be successful in God's calling to the entire church, all faithful women must be involved. And this is a goal we will try to reach today, to show how faithful women must be actively involved in the church so that the church is successful. The other goal is to see how Rahab was able to play such an important part in the life of the church. Not what she does, but how was she able to do so? This is our goal. How do we get there? Well, we'll study this lesson on the four headings. Who was this woman? Second, what did she do? Three, what did she do before? And four, what were the results of what she did? First question, who was this woman? This woman was a very ordinary woman. She was a very ordinary woman in extraordinary times. It's kind of interesting that the name Rahab means wide. And it's probably a nickname given to her based on her profession. The Bible describes prostitution this way. She was a prostitute before, but not now. Now she's a new woman. And no one considers prostitute any measure of success, but her name is just was stuck with her because that was her profession before, Rahab the harlot. It's mentioned in the New Testament. It's mentioned by James. It's mentioned by the writer of Hebrews that Rahab was a harlot or a prostitute. Yet we know something about prostitutes or former prostitutes. We know from the history that the Lord often used former adulteresses and prostitutes. Think of women like Bathsheba. Bathsheba herself was an adulteress. Mary Magdalene, the woman taken in the act of adultery. And many in modern day women who were prostitutes or adulteresses have been used by God in quite remarkable ways. Remember, success is not determined by your name, but by your obedience to God. No one is too low to be accepted by Christ. In fact, the Bible says that He will use the simple ones to confuse or to confound the wise. A simple one, the Bible says, or a child shall lead them. We know from the Apostle Paul, he will take the foolishness of this world and confound those who pretend to be wise. So this woman was just an ordinary woman with a bad nickname. Her nickname was, she was a prostitute. Her name itself may have been a nickname describing her prostitution. Her name meaning white. What does she do? Second point. In verses 1 through 8, we see a lot of what she is doing now. Rahab had a real testing opportunity presented to her. And look at the way she responds. These men came to her house. They were sent by Joshua to spy out the land. Now, there are only two real, the most common reasons for execution in society would be for murder and for treason or spying against your own country. And these men came to spy out the country, and she is there to help them. Probably these men were boarding there for the night. It is more likely that she changed her business from being a prostitute to one who did boarding. They probably asked, and they found their way to a place where they could board for the night. For the king knew that these men were there. The king didn't send around searching in every house, but he knew where to go. Let's go to Rahab. Probably because of a boarding house, or probably because the men, they found out somewhere that the men were at her house. Now, Joshua and Israel, like the church today, they knew the promises of God, that God would give them the land. But they had to do their part in realizing or getting the promises accomplished in their own lives. Jericho was one of the key places in Canaan. It was about 2 hours west of the Jordan. It was very fertile, beautiful palm trees, and very beautiful by all accounts. And they have dug up the city of Jericho, so they know very well how it was organized. Archaeologists have found it. And to take control of this land, they have their jobs. God says, I'll give you the land. I'll give you the land that you did not plant, and you will inherit it. The land that you did not build houses, but you'll inherit the houses. Everything will be ready-made for you. But here, they're taking the steps. And you need to see this as part of this lesson. They realized that they had to do something. They couldn't simply say, well, God's going to give us the land, we'll sit back down. Or, as in the Lord's Prayer, you say, give us this day our daily bread. But what? You work. You go out and you work. This is part of God's sovereignty, and this is part of man's responsibility. The two work together. They're not opposed to each other. God promised it, and you work and accomplish it. Now, Rahab, in verses 2 and following, chose to break with the companions of fools by protecting the children of Israel. She had to break with the companion of fools. Her helping and protecting God's people is also seen as an act of faith. Her act of faith says, I must leave these foolish people behind who believe that to worship God you need to go to the temple and have sex with women. And that was their way of worship. She said, I'm leaving that behind and I'm moving forward with God's people. James chapter 2 verse 25 says, likewise, as we read, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. It was an act of faith, though it was considered treason by the world. She ran a very great risk. But there is always an element of faith in your every action. Hers was a major step of faith. You go on the road, you go there by faith, you are hoping that no truck is going to run off the road and hit you. And so she takes this great risk of her whole life, and probably her family's also. She ran the risk of losing her friends. She ran the risk of losing her family. her very life. If she had turned these spies over too, she ran. She took the opportunity of being called a hero. I got the spies. But she did not do that. She gave up worldly fame for her new brothers and her true God. And instead of welcoming her lovers as she did in past time, she now welcomes her brothers in the Lord. See, sometimes too in our lives we have to give up some things if we are going to be able to accomplish many things for the Lord. We ought to be willing to give up a lot of garbage that crowds our lives. Bad television. Sometimes some of our friends. Sometimes some of our family. I know my wife hardly had her family talk to her for many years because she had become a Christian, giving up her Islam. And it was something that you have to be prepared to take. Sometimes you have to give up jobs because those jobs are causing you to sin against God. All of these things you ought to be willing to give up. If you're going to accomplish anything or anything of significance, you have to be prepared to give up some things. It doesn't mean you have to give them up, but you have to be prepared to give them up. This woman was ready to give up. You know the story very well. We're not going to talk about the story in detail. But she welcomed the spies, and she deceives her own people by telling them, oh, the spies went in another way and sent them off chasing. The Bible calls it an act of faith. It was war. Now, we are typically not called to deceive people. But in an act of war, ambushes are normal. Deceptions are normal. They're expected when you are fighting a war, as she and the children of Israel were doing. But to understand why she is able to protect these spies that came to the land, and why she is able to send her own people on a wild goose chase, as we say, you have to see what she did before. And that's the third point, verses 9 through 14. Verses 9 through 14 describes what she says. I know that the Lord had given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the earth or the land are faint-hearted because of you, for we heard how the Lord dried up the water. She recognized God's words and actions. First point. She knew who God was. She knew that it was God who opened up the Red Sea. She knew it was God who destroyed Og and Sihon. These were great warriors. But they could not stand up against God and His people. She knew this was the work of God. As opposed to the Pharisees who saw all the great works of Jesus Christ and they turned more against Him. Instead of saying, yes, I believe. That's why Jesus said, if these acts that I have done were done in Tyre and Sidon in these foreign cities, they would have repented a long time ago. She heard of these works. And she said, that's the Lord. That's the true God who is able to do all of those things. They heard of the 10 plagues of Egypt. They heard how Pharaoh was humiliated. And no wonder they bowed. She bowed before the Lord. She said, our hearts melted. We realized we couldn't fight against God anymore. She believes the truth based on what she heard, based on what she had witnessed. Them crossing over the Jordan as they came close to the land. They crossed over the Jordan. That's the power of God. And she believed in God. Having believed in God, she gets to work. And that's why she is able to send these men, her own people, off in the wrong way. And that's why she's able to protect God's people in this war. Having done so, she requests and receives the promise of God's inheritance and token. She's already evangelistic. She's praying for family. Look at verses 12 through 14. She says, Now I beg you, save my father's house, save my brothers, save my sisters and their families, and all that they have, save them. See the beautiful thing here. She's not a woman who is thinking, I'm saved and that's it. Hezekiah, when he learned that the kingdom will be taken away from him, he said, well, at least there will be peace in my lifetime. But she starts thinking, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, their families, I've got to make requests for them. I've got to pray for them. And she wants something. It's just one thing to be rolling in mud for a time, but when you stay there, there's no hope. She shows that there is hope. What does she do then? Let's look at the results of what she did. She asked for a token for her family. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is our token. We ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus described the Holy Spirit coming that way as He is token for us. We also have tokens in the idea of the Lord's Supper. When we have the bread and the wine, we're saying, yes, we remember. The body of Jesus Christ broken for our sins, the blood of Christ shed for our sins. The results of our faith are seen very clearly. She rescued the men who were the spies. She lets them down by a rope, verse 15, through the window. Again, this was a great risk to herself. But she was working hard for the Lord and His people, having come to faith in Christ. James said, as we read in chapter 2, verse 15, show me your faith without works. He's saying it is impossible to show me your faith without works, for your faith results in works. She lets the rope down the window. Action. She spoke wise words, explaining her plan. Her words. She had actions. She had words. Those are the evident things on the outside. No doubt her thoughts were already in line, as she said before, when her heart melted. And she continued to obey the word, knowing that this was an ongoing process. She didn't say, okay, I'll strike a deal for my parents and then it's all over. She puts the scarlet line in the window, a risky thing. She honors her parents by seeking their salvation, working hard towards it. She had to bring them into her house, as the men said. If these people are out of your house, their blood will be on their own heads. So she had to bring them in. Now you have to realize that these walls were quite thick. But to fit all the family, she said she had parents, she had brothers, she had sisters, and all that they had. So you can well imagine how many people were crowded into that house. Where she had to get them. And she had to convince them that if you want to be safe, you need to come here. This is the only way you'll be kept safe, she says, in this covenant house where she was. And she had to use the good news to do it. She had to be able to go to them and say, remember what God did in Egypt. Remember what God did in the desert. Remember what God did as they came across the Jordan River. This is the true God. In other words, she had to evangelize them and say, come on in to the house where God is. As a result, her family is saved. We know that from later. Lesson here is following the example of Rahab, you ought to be willing to give up your life for your family. The Bible reminds husbands that they need to be able to present their wives blameless before the Lord. They need to love their wives so much as Christ loved the church and He gave His life for her, that a husband must be willing to do that. And this is what we need to teach our children. We have to undermine the selfishness in our society in North America and Europe today that says, it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. the biggest bunch of crybabies you'll find anywhere. Look at the sports, famous sports people. They're always whining about themselves. I want more. I want more. It's about me. The selfishness has taken over. And that's because it was built in for many years now. The selfishness is too much. And we need to start from our children to teach them to think of others, not ourselves. Later, Rahab was officially part of God's people. She officially joined the church, though she was already a part of it in her heart. She married a prince of Israel called Salmon and became the mother of Boaz. We know to be the ancestor of Obed, Jesse, David. And some generations later, she became the mother of Jesus Christ himself. You never know the consequences of your faithful actions, but God can use you. She probably never had this in mind, that she would be the mother of the Lord who will save the world from their sins. And these men who came as spies might have thought, well, the woman is known as a harlot. I mean, even if she is not a harlot anymore, you know, she can fall back into that profession if a hard time comes. Maybe she's not really changed. But they didn't go on that basis. They didn't follow that line of thinking. Instead, they received her as part of the assembly. Look how the men were blessed that way. Look how the nation was blessed by her immediately. Becoming the mother of Jesus Christ. Ordinary former prostitute accomplished so much. Let's summarize then and conclude. Rahab was an ordinary woman, very ordinary. But she heard God's words and God's actions, and she received his words and his promises and was saved by God. Then she was humbled by God, guided by the word of God, and prepared for active Christian service. Her loyalty changed from herself and her countrymen to Jehovah God, God of heaven, and to Jehovah's covenant. Her faith resulted in works. She led the family to God's people, and they joined the covenant community also. More, Rahab, the former prostitute, as we said, became the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and was recounted in the New Testament as a woman of great faith, worthy of imitation, in Hebrews 11 and James 2. Here are some very practical lessons to learn. One is, your loyalty must change before you can be fit for service in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, in the King of Kings army. After all, would the Americans like to get the Taliban to join in the United States armed forces? No, the loyalty must change. And so you cannot serve the Lord properly if you are half serving someone else. If you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian in the first place, you are of no intrinsic value to the Lord. You cannot work for him. To be fit to serve the Lord, to be useful to him, you need to hear the promises of God through Jesus Christ. And remember, it was Jesus who was leading Moses and the Israelites from Egypt. He was in the cloud that guided them and provided shade over them by day. He was in the fire at night that guided them. He was pictured in the sacrifices that they made. They knew about Jesus. And it was in Jesus that Rahab had faith. And if you hear the promises of God through Jesus Christ, and if you receive those promises in God through Jesus Christ, then you will be changed. Now, how about the world? If you want to see the world change and the radical feminists and lazy, unproductive women change, how is it that they will be changed? By hearing the promises of God and helping them to take hold of the promises of God. We live in a country where, just heard in the news yesterday, two women, murderers, imprisoned for murder, were taken to a spa. This is what a prison system is doing. They're hoping they're going to change people's lives. One of them is you remember the child in Toronto, Randall Dooley, who was basically starved to death by his stepmother. And there's another woman who joined with a second woman and killed a police officer on Nielsen Road in Ellesmere a few years back. These are the women that the government of Canada is paying for them to go to spas, day spas, so they can have their nails done and have aromatherapy. That's not what's going to change the lives of the people, of these women. The thing that will change the lives of the women, these radical feminists, these people who go around, or the lazy ones for that matter, and there are many who refuse to work, unproductive, do not take care of their children like they should. The way this is going to be fixed is not through sociological reasons or changing the environment. The thing that will change them is the Word of Christ. And they grab hold of the promises. There's only forgiveness in Jesus Christ. That's for the non-Christian and how you may treat them. But for the Christian, one, know that the Lord does even the simplest, or uses even the simplest person, the lowest person, to do His work. It's from not where you've come, but to where you're going that makes the difference. You can have even the simplest task also, the most common task, and still do it for God's glory, knowing that He uses your labor to build up the saints. So there are many ways in which you can work as a Christian and to follow this example of Jesus Christ. Remember, though, the basis of you being able to work is being in Jesus Christ, like Rahab was. The faith in her resulted in works. So you need to find out clearly what your role of service ought to be and to work in it tirelessly, even being willing to die to accomplish the task that Christ has called you to do, knowing that it is only your body that dies, but your soul will live forever. And this is the first thing that you need to consider. How may I serve in the Lord's kingdom? Now, it's true, this primarily is speaking of a woman, but it certainly applies to men and boys also. What is your role? What has God opened up for you? Now you can know about your roles from Genesis through Revelation. There's a book that tells you that. And the more you read it, the more God will make clear to you what He would have you do as part of His kingdom. May God help us in our different responsibilities. May God show us how we may serve. May God show us, having equipped us, how we may be a blessing to others in His kingdom. How we may save the church and cause the church to grow and be blessed. Simple as you are, don't have to have a bachelor's degree. You don't have to have a master's degree. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to be a minister to be a part. I pray that God will bless you all, that you will be able to say, yes, this is my task, this is my calling, and I will do all I can for the glory of God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask now that you would bless these words that have been spoken to our hearts. Let us look to the example of this woman of great faith, faith that resulted in works, risky work, but work that was necessary for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Teach us, Lord, what we may do for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Teach us how we may serve you in our families, in our church, in our country. Lord, there's times when you even call us to multiple tasks. Show us, Lord. Open up our minds that we would walk in the doors that you've opened up, that we will bring glory to your name, blessings your church. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.